Friends, let's join our hearts in prayer. Lord God, on this Christ the King Sunday, once again we are reminded of your desire to rule in our lives, to be ruler over our hearts, to be the one who is central to all that guides us, to be the one who leads us, who cares for us, who sustains us. And so today, as we embrace this truth once again, may you sink it deep into the depths of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was reading the gospel this week and thinking about the message that I wanted to share with you, it drew my mind back to quite a few years ago when there was this popular game show on television called To Tell the Truth. Now, I know I'm dating myself when I bring that up, but I know there's some of you out there that remember this show. As it began, three guests would be introduced to a panel of celebrity questioners. But the delightful twist of this particular game show was that every guest introduced themselves for the first time by the same name to cloak the real mystery guest. Here's how it would go. The game show's host would reveal a descriptive statement highlighting the unique talents of the featured guest. Perhaps that individual was a famous explorer or a circus clown or a talented violinist. Once the celebrity panel then was armed with this background information, they were challenged now to ask discerning questions of each of the three guests to try to determine the correct identity of the real mystery guest. When the time of questioning ended and the panel had made their best submissions as to the true identity, it was time to tell the truth. And so the host of the show would say, "Will now the real mystery guest please stand?" And then there's this drum roll in the background, and the three guests are kind of squirming in their seats to build the intensity of the moment. And then finally, the real guest rises, often to the surprise of the panel. Friends, today's gospel lesson from John seems, at least to me, to uplift a similar theme. As we find Pilate, the questioner, faced with a mystery guest, so to speak, named Jesus, who is being challenged now to tell the truth. But the ironic and sad twist of John's gospel story is that once the truth has been revealed, Pilate still seems confused. Here's a bit of background to supplement where we begin this story today, because we kind of leap right into the middle of it. Pilate, the Roman authority figure who is responsible for law and order throughout all of Palestine, has been inflicted now with the sticky task of administering a death sentence on behalf of the religious leaders of Jerusalem. These leaders had already sentenced Jesus to death for what they considered blasphemous teachings, that he was comparing himself to God. But their rules about observing the Passover prevented them from executing this sentence themselves. So they concoct a clever plan to have the Romans do it for them, suggesting that Jesus was also a threat to Rome, especially since many were beginning to speak of Jesus as their king. Dragged out of his headquarters early in the morning hours and probably pretty grumpy because of it, Pilate impatiently addresses the matter, even though he's convinced that these local squabbles are beneath him. Nevertheless, Pilate investigates the matter to prevent further unrest among the people. He informs Jesus of the charges that have been made against him and then poses that fateful question that kind of frames the day for us. Are you the King of the Jews? But Jesus, who appears in our story today as being very powerless, a defendant in a court of law, powerfully now redirects the conversation and says, "My kingdom is not from this world." To which Pilate replies,
So, you are a king.
Well, naturally, this only serves to further stir matters up, because the reality of Jesus' kingship is far removed from the narrow, worldly perspective that Pilate has in mind. Thus, Jesus, the supposed powerless one, now instructs Pilate and everybody who's listening. "For this I was born," Jesus said, "and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." John's gospel is showing us a rather ironic turn in this entire confrontation. When he highlights Pilate's final words, and our particular lesson today ended with verse 37, but if you were to read one verse more, you would hear the classic question that Pilate asks of Jesus in light of their conversation. He says, "What is truth?" All the while, staring fully into the face of the very one who had already identified himself as the way, the truth, and the life. Friends, I can't help but think that Pilate's question is a pertinent one for us on this day, this Christ the King Sunday, as well as any time in our lives. Even though the portrayal of Jesus is one as a criminal standing in submission before worldly authority seems strangely out of place, it's this question that frames our lives even to this day. What is the truth for us? Better yet, to ponder seriously among ourselves, who is the truth for us? What voices carry prominence in our lives? Do we attune our ears, our minds, our hearts, our very lives only to the voices of the world that seem to speak loudest? I was deeply affected by these words of Jesus throughout this week as I continued to process this message. "For this I was born," Jesus said. "For this I came, to testify to the truth." Friends, what is this truth that Jesus is speaking of? Well, for those of us who consider ourselves followers of Christ, I hope that we recognize the truth is ultimately found in Jesus. As faithful followers of the ways of Christ, I hope we can confidently say that the truth that we've been discovering throughout our journey of faithful living comes from God's Word, that true witness of who He is and why He is among us. A Word revealed not only through the witness of our Bibles, but a Word that has been faithfully embraced as we gather around the baptismal font and learn that we are claimed by our Lord as His children. As we gather at the table of our Lord and receive bread and wine that represent not only His body and blood, but also infuse us with the presence of who He is. It's a Word I hope that we study and that we seek understanding of so that we can apply it in our lives every day. A Word proclaimed, a Word that is pursued, a Word that is presented to the world as we seek to make the Spirit as well as the truth of God's Word come alive in the way that we behave in relationship to God and one another. Sadly, though, as I live in this world among you and as I admit my own faults freely before you, I feel that all of us struggle at times with having our actions as the followers of Christ revealing in a living manner the Word of God. And maybe it's because too often we selectively listen to what God's Word tells us as we seek to create our own version of what we believe is truth. Recently, I stumbled across a rather sobering story from the history books. It's the tale of our nation's founding father, Thomas Jefferson, who took measures to separate the authentic words and actions of Jesus from what he believed were unreasonable elaborations in the Gospels. This is a matter of historical fact. You can Google it yourselves. In 1803, soon after Jefferson became our third president and started creating his own version of the New Testament, he sat down and he took six reportedly different Bibles. One was a King James version, and one was French, one was Latin, one was Greek. He was a brilliant man. But then, armed with a razor and some glue, he proceeded to select from these four different translations, cutting out passages that he believed were true and eliminating the rest, pasting the true passages in his mind into the blank pages of a book. The gospel account of the virgin birth, he couldn't substantiate with his own reason. The miracles of Jesus, gone. Scripture representing Jesus' divine nature, gone. The resurrection of our Lord from the dead, gone. Jefferson's newly organized book was compiled into reportedly two volumes. He titled one The Philosophy of Jesus of Nazareth, and the other The Life and Morals of Jesus. Focusing on Jesus solely as a teacher, a great moral figure, these cut-and-paste volumes of Jefferson's so-called Bible got whittled down to a mere 84 pages. Now, when I first read of this historical revelation, I was kind of surprised by Thomas Jefferson's arrogance that he thought he could know what belonged in the Bible and what didn't based on reason. And then I thought, well, maybe just like us, Jefferson was on a quest to find what was truth, as failed as it was. The problem with Jefferson's approach, and maybe with ours as well, is that too often we put our beliefs in ourselves more than we believe and trust in the living God. Rather than allow the Word of God to shape our hearts and lives, we figure we've got a better way. I submit to you today that the Word of God is a voice, friends, we should never presume that we have a mastery of. We should always see ourselves as students of the Word. And it's why I strive to approach this task of being a proclaimer of God's word with utter reverence and prayerful humility, because at times it can be a really daunting task to try to avoid filtering myself into the message too much, even though I can't help it. I hope all of us approach our time of reflection upon God's word with that desire to become open vessels seeking to receive, to be filled with the truth of God, the truth of God's word, rather than stubbornly trying to reflect our own version of what we believe. If I'm reading God's word faithfully, our Lord Jesus never sought to represent himself as anything but the truest reflection of God in the flesh. It wasn't a philosophy or a collection of moral behaviors for him. Truth, as our Lord Jesus modeled it, always sought to live in response to the living God. To do otherwise diminishes the truth. So on this Christ the King Sunday, as I'm pondering what it means to allow God to be Lord, Jesus to be King in my life, to have rule over my thoughts, my words, my deeds, I'm struggling and yet at the same time seeking to incorporate into my life the reality of what we are all challenged with. Yes, we can believe the truth of love expressed by Jesus, but the challenge for each of us is, can I allow Jesus and his love to shape my heart and my life so that I seek to love fully as Jesus loved, without judgment, without condition, fully embracing everyone? Yes, we can certainly believe the truth of forgiveness, and we long for it in our own lives, but can we also see ourselves as being those who are forgiving, no matter how hard it has been to overcome the hurt and the pain that we've experienced because of another? Otherwise, what's the point of praying the prayer that Jesus taught us? A matter of scripture, mind you, as he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Friends, if we are not doing the truth or living in response to the one who is truth, then does it really matter what we say we believe? Jesus spoke of it this way: "For this I was born, for this I came, to testify to the truth, and everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Jesus came to live among us, not just to teach about truth, but to be that truth, to do it. What about us? What is the truth that we are seeking to do? What truth is still waiting for us to do? These are powerful questions for Christ the King Sunday. May it be a part of our lives as we wrestle to respond to the Word.